You're with Mike Ryan on today's News Talk Radio. TNT. TNT.
Okay, just browsing through some of the online newspapers, RT, for example, reports that China's Pacific plans have been leaked. Now, China plans to offer significant economic and security deals to a series of Pacific nations, according to a draft document leaked to the press as the country's top diplomat tours the region. Now, the alleged proposals would come after Beijing signed a major agreement with the Solomon Islands, which led to loud objections from Australia and the US. Yesterday, we had a terrible shooting in Uvalde in Texas. And Joe Biden, it seems has the Second Amendment in his sights, that being the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. This is Joe Biden.
President Harris, before we begin, let me say a few words about what happened in Uvalde, Texas, elementary school. Since I spoke last night, the confirmed death toll has tragically climbed, including another teacher and three more students. Jill and I will be traveling to Texas in the coming days to meet with the families and let them know we have a sense of their pain, and hopefully bring some little comfort to the community in shock, in grief, and in trauma. As a nation, I think we all must be there for them, everyone. And we must ask, when in God's name will we do what needs to be done to, if not completely stop, fundamentally change the amount of the carnage that goes on in this country? To state the obvious, and Corey and a lot of other people here, I'm sick and tired. I'm just sick and tired of what's going on. It continues to go on. I spent my career as chairman of the Judiciary Committee and as vice president working for common sense gun reforms, as I said, as a senator and a vice president. While they clearly will not prevent every tragedy, we know certain ones will have significant impact and have no negative impact on the Second Amendment. Second Amendment is not absolute. When it was passed, you couldn't own a cannon. You couldn't own certain kinds of weapons. It's just always been limitations. But guess what? These actions we've taken before, they saved lives. And they can do it again. The idea that an 18-year-old can walk into a store and buy weapons of war designed and marketed to kill is, I think, just wrong. It just violates common sense. Even the manufacturer, the inventor of that weapon, thought that as well.
So there you are, President Joe Biden attacking, very, very sad, but it's not the time at the moment, not the time to make this political. And even though I may agree on some of the issues of gun control, as I said yesterday, it's a very emotional issue. It's the Second Amendment in the US. In Australia, we have, especially after Port Arthur, clamped very heavy down on gun control. So at the moment, we have the military, the police, and the bad guys have got guns and the good ones haven't got guns. We've got a cricket bat. Good luck on that. Or we can yell out, scream, and run for our lives. Also making news, several French cities have begun handing out food vouchers to the population to compensate for increasing prices. So think about it, okay? They're running out of food. And that's in France, the gourmet country, Paris, the gourmet capital of the world, and they're now handing out food vouchers. And just finally, our favourite comedian, Vladimir Zelensky. He's not very happy with Western officials. Quote, and I'll leave the rude bit out. I'll just make a noise because I'm polite. He says, go beep yourselves. That's right, go beep yourselves. The presidential advisor called Westerners urging concessions in the name of peace dumb, which is a very rude word for copulation. Go forth and multiply, Jeff Kennett used to say in Victoria. And that's what he's saying. So he's not very happy. But who gives a rat's ass whether he's happy or not? This is TNT Radio.
Your trusted news source.
Something you just can't question.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Dr. Ryan Cole received his medical degree from the Medical College of Virginia at Virginia Commonwealth University, then spent 5 years in training at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, completing his residency in anatomic and clinical pathology, as well as a fellowship in surgical pathology, serving as chief fellow in his final year. In 2004, he founded Cole Diagnostics, an independent full-service medical laboratory in Boise, Idaho, and is the chief medical officer and laboratory director. Cole Diagnostics processes and reports out about 40,000 blood and biopsy patient samples annually. In the last year, the lab has handled over 100,000 COVID testing samples. Dr. Cole is a board-certified anatomic and clinical pathologist with a subspecialty training and 20 years' experience in dermatopathology. And now, was that right? Did we get that right? Dermatopathology? Pull me up if I'm wrong. And a particular interest in molecular diagnostics. Dr. Cole serves patients and clinicians across the U.S. First of all, did I fail as a doctor? I mean, did I pronounce that name right? Dermatopathology.
And very close.
Thank you very much. It's
very close.
Maybe my profession should not be a doctor. I think I'll stick to what I do. Thanks for joining us, by the way.
Yeah, you bet. It's a pleasure to be here with you on your program.
Tell us about the Global COVID Summit, which you're involved in.
Sure. The Global COVID Summit is a large group now of independent physicians and medical scientists around the world that have come together to tell the scientific truth. We started out as a small group, me, Dr. Malone, Dr. Urso, Dr. Tyson, Dr. Gessling, a couple others. And as we started our founding document, basically a declaration of medical independence, trying to get back to the Hippocratic Oath and the doctor-patient relationship, not big corporate medicine. And then Dr. Malone read this at the first international COVID summit and got millions upon millions of views. And after that, we ended up being thousands of doctors, and now we're well over 17,000 doctors and medical scientists. And basically, we're just trying to get the truth out in spite of all the censorship and the opposition, and trying to keep people safe and protected.
What about the response from the government and establishment? How's that looking? I would imagine they've sent you welcome cards and all that sort of stuff. Not?
They've sent us plenty of welcome cards. And, they're medical technocrats and bureaucrats. We're the frontline people just on feet on the street. We're the ones that see the patients. We're the ones that understand the science. We're the ones that see the disease. We don't have any financial interest in any of this whatsoever. Our interest is the wellness of humanity, in scientific truth and integrity in all its forms. And I can't give the government credit for being the same. I mean, they're trying to censor. They formed their Ministry of Truth, which has gotten, at least here in the States, sufficient pushback that they're not going to fund that, it looks like, which is good in this Orwellian era. Mm. And I like to joke that Orwell's 1984 book was a warning and not an instruction manual.
I just, in Australia, we have all these, we've just gone through a federal election, which has been pretty interesting. In South Australia, one of our states here, they've just had a state election, and they're about to introduce into law that anybody that goes against the mask mandates when they decide to reintroduce those will be fined up to $75,000 and 2 years in jail. And what surprises me is that we expect that from a lot of the governments now. They want to come down hard and do it hard and heavy, shock and awe, as Stormer Norman once said. But what does surprise me and alarms me is there is little pushback from the general populace. Everyone just says, okay, we'll just roll along with it.
Yeah, and this is really sad because there's no mask that works for a respiratory virus. Masks in a public setting, they don't work. They're, if you go to brownstone.org, Dr. Paul Alexander has gathered over 150 articles on masks showing they don't work. So for governments to do this to people is complete anti-science, and it's really draconian control because there's no science behind it. If you look at all the countries and all the heavy measures that were used in many places, not a single place that masked changed the outcome of the rates of spread of the virus. So to pass rules or laws like this is actually scientific absurdity. It's really tragic. And I mean, I always invite my colleagues, great, show me otherwise, but nobody will bring the data. They'll attack me, they'll attack my colleagues, but they won't attack the data because they don't have any data to counter what we share.
Mm-hmm. Given the depth of the problem, because we see that governments and big pharma, and I mean just about everything. It used to be the industrial complex. You know, I think it's the medical complex, and they're really a fabulous way of scaring the bejeebus out of the public. We have moneypox at the moment, which is the new thing that's about to terrorize the world, according to the media. We had the avian flu, where they knocked on the head, so many turkeys and chickens throughout the U.S. and their propensity to find that fear factor is just never ending. And what do you think the end result is? Is it just a bunch of wackos that who are so stupid that their IQ is so low that they just throw things out? Or is there, do you think, an agenda here, a greater plan?
It would appear that money is a big part of it, and I think maybe even pharma is just kind of a pawn in the game. They're just out with the catcher's mitt in between, making as much money off of it as they can. We do know they're a huge lobby in terms of controlling what our legislators do around the world. It's really, I think, about power and control. It's really unfortunate because it is stupid. I mean, what we see, if it seems absurd, if it appears absurd, which so much of what's happened has been, then it's probably wrong. If your gut feeling says, wait, this seems absurd, then I think that's where we all need to push back, because most of what we've experienced has been completely non-scientific.
And you're right. The data, science, when they say the science is settled, you know that it hasn't, because science is never settled. But the it's 100% emotion and about 0% facts, isn't it?
Correct. And that's where they play on the heartstrings and the fear of people. You are correct. And I look at, like a Thomas Jefferson quote, I prefer dangerous freedom over peaceful slavery. And what we're seeing governments around the world do is subject their citizens to measures and into mindset that is completely not fact-based. And I think this is where the people of the world absolutely need to wake up and need to push back and not comply, and really get out of office these individuals that are pushing these absurdities, because it has nothing to do with health and wellness. It has everything to do with money, power, and control. There's a darkness behind it. I mean, I don't care what religion you are or aren't. It doesn't matter. But I think everybody can feel there's something dark. There are sociopathic people behind these agendas that are completely illogical.
The vaccine, actually, bad word, smack me down, the injection that they're plonking into people's bodies, I mean, it's the damage it's going to do to society, and it's doing it now, but everyone's saying, oh, well, I got through those jabs, I'll be fine. But the long-term damage, do you think they'll put one and one and get two, or do you think they'll put one and one and get three? They just won't connect the dots, because we're in for Dr. Chandra. He was saying that the future for Australia is, or for, not for Australia, for the world is very, very dim and dark because of what we expect to happen from the first shot, second shot, third shot, fourth shot. And it's we're not looking all that flashy. And then the suppression of the data to hide all this. How do you see the future? And they always say, oh, we'll bring these people to account. Do you think they'll ever do that? Because government and they're good crooks. They're bad, good bad people, because they know how to do it properly and get away with it. So, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, this is the most dangerous medical product ever released on humanity, and it's shocking that it's been allowed to stay present in humanity. I am concerned. I had dinner a couple nights in a row with Geert Vandenbosch. I was in the UK this past weekend giving some presentations at the World Council for Health. And he and I are gravely concerned about the long-term outcomes. The shot, number one, really never worked. People try to make the claim it decreased severity in hospitalizations and deaths, which statistically it did not. And then along came Delta. The shot was made for Wuhan. And once the variants came along, not a single shot has ever been reformulated. People are getting a booster to the original virus that went extinct in humanity almost a year and a half ago. So it's the wrong shot for the wrong virus, and it doesn't work anyway. And we're finding in all the world data now that those who have received two, three, or four shots are getting COVID at a higher rate. Anybody that's received the shots is now dying at all-cause mortality at higher rates than those who didn't get the shot. The world is ignoring the fact that a good majority of people have had COVID and have COVID-recovered natural immunity. Sure, you know, you can still get Omicron again, but in those that had natural immunity and not a shot, it's just a cold. But it's suppressing the immune system. I mean, I'm gravely concerned about the immune suppression that we've caused across humanity. And I'm gravely concerned with the adverse events I'm seeing, the heart disease, the liver inflammation, the brain disease, the strokes, the increase in cancer rates. It is a dangerous shot that has harmed millions upon millions of people around the world. I hope they get held accountable. I hope Pfizer gets sued for bringing forth fraudulent data. Same thing with Moderna and J&J. They didn't have any evidence that these worked, and they fudged the data to get these passed.
What do you see as the greatest threat, the immediate effects of the stuff they're throwing into our body, or the long-term effects?
I think the long-term effects. I mean, those who are going to have an acute immediate reaction are going to have that within the first 2 months, 2 to 3 months, because the spike protein and this synthetic GMO mRNA, modified RNA, stays in the body for a long time. Stanford studies show at least 60 days, and that's when they stopped so they could get published. German autopsy studies, Dr. Burkhardt, at least 120 days. So, you know, this spike is clotting, it's inflammatory, it's the toxin of the virus, it's persisting in the human body. Certainly, we're seeing some acute reactions. I'm concerned about the long-term reactions because I'm seeing so much immune suppression. You know, what some are calling vaccine-induced immunodeficiency, and it gets worse after each shot. Mm. I mean, the spike is the toxin. You get one shot and don't get another, good, don't get another. If you get two and don't get another, okay, good. But if you get two, your risks are higher. If you get three, what I'm seeing is, I don't want to say game over, but I'm seeing a lot of those who choose to get that third one or that fourth one, because my concern long-term is the amount of autoimmune disease we're going to see, chronic illness, inability to fight off future viruses and other infections. It's immunologically devastating to the human body. And it's a gene. It's not a vaccine. I mean, a vaccine is a killed protein or a killed whole pathogen. These were authorized based on vaccine standards, not on gene therapy standards. And they bypassed biodistribution, toxicity, reproductive toxicity, weight-based analyses. They bypassed all the standards for a gene product, and they got away with it.
Before we get into that part, I mean, we had Dr. Elizabeth Vliet, Lee Vliet, on, and she's on quite regularly with us, and we're talking about the emerging evidence. In fact, it was done by the Chinese, I think, in 2018 or 2019, that the effect on fertility, and she was saying then that the evidence shows that it was affecting the testes, the ovaries, and the placenta of all things. Can you just elaborate on that? Because, I talk to people about this, and they go, nah. It's all rubbish, but it's an older study in comparison to the life of this inverted commas pandemic, isn't it?
It is. You know, it's interesting. Like Moderna had never brought a product safely to market. They were 0 for 8 on their products. Pfizer, Borla, the CEO, said to a scientist, "Hey, why are we doing mRNA? We've only been working on this technology 2 years." It's an unproven technology, and it's not just this COVID shot that's dangerous. Lipid nanoparticle plus a modified RNA is a nuclear bomb for the human body, period. The lipid nanoparticle, I like to joke that it's like garlic. If somebody's in the kitchen cooking garlic with butter, everybody in the house knows it. That lipid nanoparticle goes everywhere. It can land in any cell in the body. It doesn't stay in the arm. And it home. The Japanese did biodistribution studies. It hones to the liver, the spleen, the bone marrow, the brain, and the ovaries. We know that lipid nanoparticle can carry the mRNA to the ovaries. The amount of women that have had rare and weird and excess bleeding after the shots is astronomical. And we know from some mammal models, from some rat models and mice models, there's been decreased implantation of eggs in the uterus. We know that the lipid nanoparticle in and of itself, wherever it lands, causes inflammation. And any cell that makes the spike protein now becomes an enemy to the human body and gets attacked by our natural killer cells. So Dr. Vliet, and I know her reasonably well and have had some conversations with her, she's correct. The long-term studies, I mean, these are unproven technologies. They've been on the market, what, a year and a half now? We don't have 5-year outcomes, 10-year outcomes in any medical product. It always takes years to get it safely to market. So this emergency authorization has been horrendously damaging to humanity. And, you know, I looked at our military data. We saw decreased fertility in that cohort. We saw decreased sperm counts. We've seen inflammation in the reproductive organs. We know it's already happening. So now the long-term outcome is wait and see. But all indications from an actual hardcore pathology, virology, immunology, scientific point of view is this is not good.
Often hear, in fact, always hear from the medical profession waving their Red Cross flag, that the injection is perfectly safe. We're still on a trial. Take away all the other evidence that there is at the moment. If we're still on a trial for a doctor or any medical professional to say it is perfectly safe is just perfectly lying, isn't it?
Absolutely. And you know, they have no evidence whatsoever to make that claim. That's kind of the hypnosis within the medical profession. Oh, safe and effective, safe and effective, only because they were brainwashed into saying so. My meeting in the UK this weekend, a physician came up to me. He said, "You can't believe the number of young patients I'm seeing now with cancer." A nurse that's been in medicine for 27 years, works the emergency department, the countless individuals with heart damage and strokes and seizures and neurologic injuries. She's like, "I have never seen medicine like this before in terms of presentation of so many damaged individuals." Safe and effective is their hospital systems are getting paid big money to push the shot. These doctors, if they speak against it, you know, I've been attacked plenty. I've lost a ton of business, sadly, for speaking the truth. Scientifically, I've gained nothing from any of my outspokenness around the world other than vitriol from my colleagues who don't know science. I would venture to say, you know, in my town, I know more than 99.99% of doctors because this is my expertise. Mm. And every time I get attacked, I say, "Show me the data." And they have no data to counter it. So they're lying to the patient when they say, "Oh, these are safe and effective." They have no evidence to that. And we don't have that crystal ball of time because in another year or two, how many people are going to be harmed when another coronavirus comes along and their immune system can't react to it because they got too many shots and basically numbed their immune response to that protein?
Look, if you could just hang on just for 2 minutes, we'll come back. Just got to play a couple of commercials here. This is TNT Radio. My special guest is Dr. Ryan Cole.
Be afraid. Be very afraid. World Economic Forum President Klaus Schwab has said the future is built by the elites at Davos.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Let's also be clear. The future is not just happening. The future is built by us, by a powerful community as you here in this room. We have the means to improve the states of the world.
Yes, that's right. Klaus Schwab announcing to the world that he has the means to improve the world and that they are in charge of your life. Did anyone vote for Klaus Schwab? This is all part of the Great Reset. You will owe nothing and you will be happy. All your food will be delivered by drones. You will not eat meat. You'll have no privacy, but you'll like it. Welcome to Serfdom 2022. For the Morano Minute, this is Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
Hey, everyone. TNT presenter Misty Winston here. As you may already know, journalist and publisher Julian Assange is facing extradition and 175 years in prison for doing what journalists all over the world do every day. This case represents the most dangerous threat to press freedom in history. The case now sits in the hands of UK Home Secretary Priti Patel. Please contact her office and encourage her to do the right thing and refuse the extradition request. This case will forever change the future of press freedom. We can't afford to lose.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
You're with Mike Ryan on today's News Talk Radio. TNT. TNT.
And my guest is Dr. Ryan Cole. Look, is there evidence outside the lab that DNA is altered by injections? And what would that mean?
There's no evidence outside the lab yet. And this is the frustration. I've expressed this many times. The funding from the governments, when we bring forward a new technology like this, and again, this technology is a nuclear bomb as far as I'm concerned in terms of risks, there should be follow-up studies looking at the profile on this. And we're not doing that. So, I mean, that question is a great question. How do we find these things out if we're not studying them? There's no funding for it. There's no interest in this. And I don't know. I think it's going to be, I know, in fact, in the lab, it's reverse transcribed into our DNA. There should be studies, and those were done on liver cells. It should be done in reproductive cells. It should be done in brain cells. It should be done in every cell in the body. There are cell lines in which we can do these. But any independent researcher or laboratory that does that, good luck getting your findings published. And what does it mean if it gets reverse transcribed? That's a great question. It means mutations. And now if it's a part of our sequence in our DNA, it does what we call shifts reading frames. So when you have, you know, your reading of your DNA to make different proteins, now it may make a different protein, a mutated protein, or different amounts of proteins. And that's the long-term concern. Now, to the question, we do have a good portion of our DNA historically that's ancient viruses. It's called the HERS region. We have about 7% of our DNA is sequences from ancient viruses. What this one's going to do intercalating into our cells is another one of those great unknowns.
Just what about because I've had a friend of mine always text me and I keep forgetting to ask someone, so you're here now. What about the effects of the vaccines in the blood? Is it short-term or long-term?
Both. At this point, we know it's both. Short-term, it can cause clotting, absolutely. Short-term, that spike protein. And this is why the shots are more virus. Omicron, I call it COVID, not COVID, because it's a cold. Mm. And the spike protein is made up of an S1 and an S2 subunit. With Omicron, it doesn't really break apart as much. With the earlier variants, it did. And that S1 protein could cross the blood-brain barrier, could cause more clotting. Now, the shot still does that. Omicron doesn't. So now the shot is causing all these side effects. We do know from studies from Bruce Patterson, he had some long-haul patients that had the spike still present in circulating white blood cells, your Pac-Man cell, your monocytes, for 15 months after. We know, again, Stanford, at least 60 days, Dr. Burkhart, also Journal of Immunology, at least 4 months. So it depends on what you consider short and long-term. Most vaccines, you're going to get adverse reactions quickly. This one, because of the persistence of that spike, can be months and months and months afterwards.
What about the effects on, or the implications for blood transfusions? And two parts of this. This is my friend who would say, if you haven't had the jibby jab and you don't want to get it, and if you get a blood transfusion, does that change the whole ball game for yourself? For my friend,
that's a great question. And again, the scientific answer is we don't know. I know the Red Cross was having people defer at least for a month after the shots in terms of donating. But that spike protein is very small, and plasma products can contain that spike protein. I know of one case, and again, it's just a case report, of a woman who got a platelet transfusion and then ended up clotting after that transfusion. Tracing that product, it appeared that it was from a vaccinated individual. So if that spike protein is present in a blood product, it can cause clotting. The spike is very thrombogenic, which means it can cause clots. Even in the absence of platelets, we know from Dr. Pretorius in South Africa, that spike protein alone, that S1 subunit of the spike, you can put it in the blood and the proteins will clump in this jelly-like manner. It's something we call pseudoamyloid, and it's rubbery and it blocks vessels. And so this is a huge concern I have medically, because there's, again, no long-term large study showing the safety of the blood supply. Is spike there or not? Mm. And is there a way to even bind and block it out? People here in stateside, we're looking at it saying we need to open, pure blood banks for those who have never received the jab so people can bank their blood. There's a grave concern.
The recent or the continuing at the moment, the get together for the demented, they call it the WEF. We have there was a guy from Pfizer, and I forgot his name, but he was talking about short grab, did the Twitter rounds and Gab and Getter and stuff. And he was talking about how they have this technology now that can, that when you get the shot, it goes to your stomach and it will send out a signal that will let them know that you've been compliant, you've done as you're told, and you've got the jibby jab. That alone opens up a whole can of worms. First of all, was it just a car salesman talking about the brand new car that really only has three wheels, or is it actually reality and the implications thereafter?
Well, I think this is, again, a disgusting violation of privacy. They have the technology. RFID technology is very microscopic now, and the ability to do it does exist. DARPA, defense agencies, they've been looking at this kind of technology for a long time. Constitutionally, I know here it's a constitutional violation, search and seizure, and basically the integrity of person. I think another countries' constitutions, it would be a violation as well. So for somebody to put a tracking device in your body against your will sure seems illegal to me in most countries. But hey, I'm not a lawyer, but I do know the technology is available and does exist. I think, again, it goes back to that term sociopathic. It's really, these people are psychopaths. They're absolute psychopaths. And they don't need to know my medical history. Mm. That's not their... it's really continue. Well, shame on us. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. We've already seen the bad behavior.
Interesting.
J&J and
But just
J&J, Moderna.
The whole line.
Sorry.
So that's. But I was just thinking, because we've got this delay at the moment, but it's fine. But the just thinking, they also want to do it for climate change, to control your carbon footprint. So they're obviously thinking about this nanotechnology.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing God with the human body and transhumanism and going into realms that, hey, look, if that's what you want for you, great, more power to you. But for the rest of us that like the integrity of who we are and are comfortable with our status as human beings, leave us alone. We don't need. There's plenty of good technology, and technology can be used for good or ill. Obviously in the world. And there are plenty of great things medicine has done for humanity over the years. There's obviously questionable things that have happened during experiments on humanity over many wars and other nations. I think people know what I'm talking about. But to do this to humanity against our will, I mean, these are criminals. These are criminals violating our bodily integrity, our social integrity, the fabric of who we are as a society. And it's a bunch of crazy wealthy people that want to have power and control over all of us. And I think we need to stop it at every turn that we can.
The other one, too, was that the advisor mentioned, and this is about 3 weeks ago, before the get-together for the demented, and they were talking about, they said, we can actually create this this injection that will, you can actually pass it on to people that haven't been vaccinated. I think you call it shedding. What evidence is there about shedding from the vaccinated? Is there evidence? Is it just, again, a Stephen King novel gone, you know, just gone haywire on steroids? Or is it actually there's something out there about it?
There is something out there about it. If you look at page 67 of Pfizer's emergency application in the States, at the bottom of the page, it talks about if one is pregnant, then individuals that have received the shot need to not be in the same room and not have physical skin contact with that person for a month. Now, we know other vaccines have been developed for animal populations to sterilize the population. So they'll vaccinate one, you know, mouse, rat, rabbit, release it back into the population of mice, rats, and rabbits, and they will carry that vaccine. It's a self-transmitting vaccine. Now, in terms of this one, measuring the amount of spike protein that people are shedding, we know it happened. There was an early study just with the infection in the subways of Wuhan showing in the sweat of individuals that had COVID, one could detect the presence of the spike protein being shed. Obviously, the virus itself is spread through respiration and aerosolized particles. Well, this spike protein is teeny tiny. The Journal of Immunology study showed that the spike is wrapped in little particles of fat. And, you know, there's no reason to believe that that spike can't be exhaled. And we know it can appear in sweat and body secretions. So it's just a matter of, you know, how much of a dose does one around those individuals receive. But but self-spreading, self-shedding vaccines are a scientific reality already.
Really interesting, the if they had followed people like yourself, Peter McCullough and so on, and taken notice of early treatment. Peter always said that he said, what disease is there out there that they will not let you partake of early treatment? And one great way of shutting down the whole conversation about that, which is just common sense, it's being a doctor 101, and they took that away from you. But they also suppressed any sort of dissension. So if you weren't on the same page, you were censored beyond all belief. Not only is it damaging for humanity and for the doctor involved or the medical professional involved, it's also very damaging to science, because science is never settled, is it?
Well, it's dangerous in the sense that millions of lives were lost unnecessarily. And Galileo was censored and thrown in the tower. It doesn't mean he was wrong. You know, he was correct about the celestial orbs and what rotates around what. And here we are in medicine. We've always done observational medicine. You try something on a patient, and what were these drugs that were censored and suppressed have respectively a 40 and a 70 year safety record. Long, long term. Meanwhile, we're giving remdesivir here in the States still now down to 28-day-olds. And remdesivir kills the kidneys. The WHO said in November of 2020, quit using it. And there's so many perverse financial incentives behind these treatments that don't work. And we have treatments that do work. You know, sequence multi-drug therapy approach that Dr. McCullough talks about. And again, to your point, censorship is dangerous. But then taking away some of the safest medications on the planet Earth, and look, I could give an entire medical lecture on why they do work, and not just for COVID, I mean, for other RNA viruses. And we've known for a dozen years in laboratory studies for coronaviruses. I don't know if I can name the drugs here or not. But yeah, ivermectin, I mean, it has 21 mechanisms of action. It works against yellow fever, dengue, HIV, coronaviruses, chikungunya virus, et cetera, et cetera. There's a dozen family, even adenovirus, ironically. So it works against countless viruses, inhibitory mechanisms, anti-inflammatory, it's a great anti-clotting agent, and these drugs were suppressed. And it's really perplexing as to why. Well, it's not perplexing when you read the requirements. If there were medications that worked against this disease, no emergency vaccine could have been authorized. So it was as though they had this big financial plan from the get-go to suppress anything and everything so they could make their billions on their shots.
We have a friend who actually works for us, and she got very, very sick and went to the hospital, and they told her to sit out in a tent in the cold for 4 hours, and then she decided to go home and called us and said that she's, you know, feeling like she's going to fall off the perch. So we contacted a couple of good friends of ours who are politicians, who contacted some great professionals in the medical arena, and she got her ivermectin, even hydroxychloroquine and a bunch of other stuff. And the first couple of days, she said she doesn't feel a whole lot better. The fourth day, I mean, she could have been in the Olympics. And probably not if you could see our friend. I mean, that's the last thing, the exercise bit. But she got better. And that just shows you that early treatment, you don't need to invade your body with something we're not sure about. You can do something that the doctor can prescribe and say, okay, you've got a problem with that, and you've got a problem with that, and a problem with that. So this will fix that, this will fix that, and this will fix that. And guess what? You're better. That sort of medical advice from the doctor is what should have been there in the first instance, shouldn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not going to say to a patient that comes into my emergency room, gosh, that bone sticking out of that broken leg sure looks bad. You might as well go home, and when it's gangrenous in 2 weeks, maybe then we'll try to do something. You would do something like that. The moment a patient has a symptom, you intervene as soon as you can. And then you avoid those long-term adverse outcomes. It's really, I mean, it's mind-boggling that the medical profession around the world has let this happen. Mm. Oh, hey, gosh, you have COVID, go home till your lips turn blue, and then when you come back, then we'll try to do something. Heavens no.
Mm. The even with the censorship part, you have Jankovic in the US, and you know, the Ministry of Truth has been put to bed just for a while, but the UK is rolling on with the Ofcom, and in the EU they're going to check everybody's text and stuff on devices, which will probably go through. In Australia, we've got all these restrictions happening now that anybody online will be, you know, we're going to go after you, basically. What they're doing is stopping this discussion, this the free speech part, and to shut down a reasonable discussion. Because yeah, my beef is just you should not have interfered. The doctors, let them do their jobs. Do you see censorship increasing and these professional groups challenging it more, or do you? Because it's very hard right now. If Ofcom, for example, get theirs through, and it looks like they will, you have to have a license to stream on the internet. And it says you won't get your license if you disagree with climate change, if you disagree with the narrative of COVID or of the vaccination rollout or whatever, and many other things that the government is initiating. So, and the same thing with the US. Yeah, they were going to just knock on the head anybody that disagreed with Biden, basically, COVID and climate change, and the same here. So what about these professional groups? Do you see groups out there strong enough to take on not just one government, but a globe full of governments?
Well, you know, it's not time to wake up the sheep. It's time to wake up the other lions. And this, you know, this is what we're doing around the world. There are voices that are strong. There are scientists that are highly intelligent. We really, on a political level around the world, need to be pushing back at every corner. You know, they claim, you know, misinformation, disinformation, malinformation. They never define it, because then it's a moving target. It can be whatever they say it is. So it's very dystopian, very Orwellian. But we need to absolutely on every level push back. And sadly, I think a lot of these politicians are bought. I think they're corrupt, and we need to root out the corruption. We need to, on an individual level, decide to step up and be willing to be in office and not be corrupted and protect humanity. I'm on my central district health board now, over 1 million people. I've been very vocal and outspoken, been attacked in the media, but I'm in it to protect the people and their health and wellness against attack from these large corporate interests or these governmental, you know, Jankowitz. I mean, the gal's a, you know, certifiable nutcase. And these are communists. I mean, these are communists. They're trying to take over free nations of the world.
And she can't sing. What's your thoughts on the next pandemic? We've seen the avian flu. Those poor chickens and turkeys hit on the head before they were supposed to have, and which creates a problem with the food supply, which is another issue, another story in itself. But then we have. They call it moneypox, which is monkeypox. I mean, these pandemics, the media is just so excited about something that will destroy the planet. But the talk of these pandemics are very irresponsible, aren't they?
It is very irresponsible. And I already know the treatment for monkeypox. And yes, the K in monkeypox is silent. You're correct. I mean, our government just spent $119 million on several million doses of monkeypox vaccine. They projected this a year ago in a simulation as well. Oh, gosh, what if monkeypox circulated? You know, it's not a very deadly virus. It's fascinating. There's around 180 cases in about 11 or 12 countries right now total. And yet the media is fear-mongering over it. Mm. And almost the majority of those cases are in homosexual populations for certain reasons that I won't expound upon. But it's fascinating that the media is in collusion with pharma and in collusion with governments. They control people through fear. You know, don't allow yourself to live a life of fear. Live a life of freedom. Live a life of wellness. If you are well, if you take care of your health, if you have a good vitamin D level, if you get your sleep, if you get your exercise, you're not going to be susceptible to the majority of diseases. I mean, we don't promote wellness through our public health systems. They're public sick systems that are trying to scare us. And it's really tragic. Well, from a broad point of view that we focused absolutely on the wrong things over the last couple of years.
Yeah, they're doing a very nice job of telling us not to enjoy life. I always was told that my grandfather said to me, said you should have a whiskey every night. I said, well, will it work? He said, no, but it tastes pretty nice. So some great advice there, which I've continued on for many, many years. If somebody wants to find out more about you, how do they do that?
I'm at the letter R as in Ryan, rcole, colemd.com. So I answer some questions there. I'm also and it will lead you to us. So globalcovidsummit.org, and there's a forum there. And then I have a subpage that'll be starting there in the next week when I get back from my next round of travels. And so you can interact with me. You can ask questions. You can share things. And interestingly, on that forum as well, we have a forum for the vaccine injured. It's blockchain-based, so the internet can never remove your story like so many of these social media platforms have. So it's an opportunity to share, to converse, to agree, disagree. It's a forum like forums should be. So rcolemd.com, globalcovidsummit.org, go to the forum link, and those are the best ways to get hold of me.
Dr. Ryan Cole, I've got to say that was a real pleasure. Far too early at the moment for me to have a whiskey, but I'm going to try the Scottish stuff later on. Thank you very much, sir.
It's an honor. Thank you, and enjoy that whiskey.
God, you're amazing. You're a much better listener than my wife. You're always there for me. I think I may be in love.
Where is she?
It's not what it seems. I was talking to...
Who's the tramp I heard you talking to?
That was my Alexa, sweetie.
Well, she sounds like a tramp.
Fall in love with news and talk all over again with your smart device. Just tell it to play.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no, 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 no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning. The cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh. Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Pre-Diabetes Awareness Partners.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Today's News Talk Radio. Today's News Talk Radio. TNT.
Okay, just looking at the what's happening with the counting on the last federal election, Jeremy Beck.
G'day, Mike.
You're everywhere. You're everywhere. Have you got shares in the station? but I'm just looking at, just quickly, we've got 5 minutes to kill. Looking at the Senate at the moment, as they're tipping that Pauline Hanson will get over the line. I'm not sure if you're aware of the Senate. We have, at the moment, Coalition have 31, Labor have 26. The Greens, 12, One Nation, 2, Jackie Lambie Network, sounding very much like an Amway mob, and perhaps that's what she should be, with attitude, of course, has 2. David Pocock has 1, and undecided are 2 at the moment. And they're saying that Labor, with Pocock on their side, will have something like 39 votes out of 76, which means they can roll things through from the lower house to the upper house and basically no opposition. Bit scary, isn't it?
Very scary, particularly with the Green Teal candidates, which are effectively just another Greens party, and Labor with no real genuine opposition. Fortunately, it looks like Pauline Hanson will retain her seat, which I wasn't too hopeful a couple of days ago. But that's good news. And the other good news is in Victoria, it's looking likely the United Australia Party will get a Senate seat there. And given that Melbourne was the most locked down city in the world, I think, you know, if we didn't get one of the freedom parties coming up in the Senate, you'd got to be scratching your head. So at least that's some good news for Victoria. But that's still, it's not enough. The Labor Party, in combination with the Greens and the Teals, they'll just ram through their agenda.
Mm.
But at least, you know, those are people such as Senator Jared Rennick, who's still in there, Pauline Hanson, Malcolm Roberts, etc. At least they'll be in Parliament still to voice concerns and ring the alarm bells, but they won't have the numbers to really do very much.
I mean, they got a carte blanche, the ALP. They can do what they want. They'll do a bit of a Joe Biden, whereas he had executive orders. These will just get it through both houses. And so whatever they want to do, they're going to do. What about in the lower house? Do you have any information on the what's happening? Because I think there's... lower house, there's a couple of undecided. What's happening?
I've got the Australian Electoral Commission website, the tally room, open in front of me right now. And according to that, Labor has 75, but they need 76 to govern in their own right. So far, I don't know. I haven't had a check of the undecideds, but it's possible they might get that just one seat. But even if they don't, it doesn't really matter that much, because with the Greens and the Teals, they're effectively the same. They will have supply, and they'll be more than happy to push through a similar agenda.
Just, I mean, here's something really odd. Now, it was mentioned as we've got 2 minutes to go, but really odd that we have Albanese sworn in as Prime Minister, off to represent Australia. I mean, the ALP still doesn't have enough votes in their own right to govern the country. And sure, they'll do a deal with the Greens or whatever, but that's always open to negotiation. So do you think it's a bit premature that Albanese would be jetting off, sworn in as Prime Minister, jets off overseas, and they still it hasn't yet been decided.
He already has had implicit agreement with the Greens, so they haven't drawn up all the details, but the Greens have already agreed to give supply and do some kind of a deal. So, in effect, they've already formed a government. And any one of those Teal independents, technically they are independent, even though they've received funding from the same Climate 200 source. Effectively, any one of those could be teamed up with the Labor Party, but they don't need that with the Greens.
They don't. I wish we had cannibals here. They need to eat their Greens. Okay, that's about it. I'll catch you again, I'm sure, shortly, because you're everywhere. Jeremy Beck, the everywhere man, thank you very much.
Thanks, Mark.
This is TNT Radio.